I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media executive Nick Charles, Professor Mark Lamont Hill, and outreach press secretary for the RNC, Sean Connor. Arsalan Iftikhar and Ruben Navarrete are evidently getting their shape-up somewhere else this week. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, yo, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Pretty good, as always. How you doing?
Man, yo, check this out. Robocalls and Republican mailers plaguing the electorate with political propaganda. Woo, say that five times fast as we take a final lap to Election Day. Now, both sides are crying foul. In Minnesota, they might have even broken a law. We got tape of some of these robocalls.
Well,
yes?
I don't know about that. Well, first of all, has anybody gotten a robocall?
I have filters.
No, they don't send robocalls in my neighborhood.
No, no.
Republican people.
I'm in Philly.
They can't get all through all the bill collectors trying to call me.
Yeah, I was about to say, right? We don't answer the call.
Okay.
We see unknown number. We don't pick that up, man.
Well, right, exactly.
Mark may be in a battleground state, but he's not in a battleground neighborhood, so he's not getting any calls. I'm not getting any calls. But then again, they couldn't get through the screen.
I'm in a battleground state, too, Michelle. I'm in Ohio.
But as we mentioned, you have other issues with your tying up your phone. we're kind of questioning whether your phone is still turned on at this point.
Exactly.
But that's a personal issue. But all right, I'm going to play you a clip from each one, a robocall from the McCain campaign. Actually, these generally last about 45 seconds. We're going to play you about 20 seconds. So here's the John McCain call first.
I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because you need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, a judge's home, and killed Americans. And Democrats will enact an extreme leftist agenda if they take control of Washington. Barack Obama and his Democratic allies lack the judgment to lead our country.
And then here's a portion of I guess you could call it a response robocall from the Obama campaign. Here's a short clip of that.
I live in Green Bay, and like you, I've been getting sleazy phone calls and mail from John McCain and his supporters viciously and falsely attacking Barack Obama. I used to support John McCain because he honorably served our country, but this year he's running a dishonorable campaign. We know McCain will continue many of Bush's policies, and now he's using George Bush's divisive tactics.
Wow.
Well, there you have it.
That's deep. Ooh, thanks, Michelle.
Ouch. Yo, yes, you're welcome.
S. Connor. Con man, welcome to the shop. How you living?
I'm good.
What's up, man? What's up with you people calling all late at night, man, and dropping these rhetorical bombs? What's wrong with you all, man? What's up with that?
No, I'm sorry. I have to say it's a fair question. It's a fair question because, unfortunately, Senator Obama's not talked about what his relationship with Mr. Ayers has been. He's not talked about what his relationship with Mr. Resco's been. He's not talked about what his relationship with Acorn has been. I'm sorry. We got questions, and they need to be answered at this point.
Wait. Hold on, Con Man. We still don't know about McCain's relationship with. We don't know about McCain's relationship with G. Gordon Liddy. What's up with that?
I can't comment on that. That's a question.
Dr. Hill.
Con Man is the perfect name. Man, the reality here is that Barack Obama has very clearly and unequivocally addressed the Ayers question and the Acorn question at the debates on various interviews. I mean, he's addressed the issue. The relationship between Bill Ayers and Barack Obama is very thin, and it's very, you know, there's just not much substance there, and everybody knows that. And to suggest that dropping these rhetorical bombs, as Jimmy put it, on people's phones is going to somehow answer questions rather than simply raise unrealistic and unreasonable fears and anxieties among people is ridiculous.
Wait a minute, Sean, can I just ask, what answer do you want other than what he's already given, which is to say they served on a board together and that their kids go to the same school? What other answer are you looking for?
Well, a clear accounting of the relationship between Resco and the senator, between Acorn and the senator. He's definitely not answered the question about his relationship with Acorn, who they've paid to do work for them, who he's been a lawyer for. I mean, there are lots of questions to be answered, and with 11 days left till we decide who the next president of the United States, they're fair questions.
Well, you know, so that I think
Go ahead, Nick.
I don't think that's a fair question. I think the problem with the robocalls, and I don't have any problem with them as political tactics, you know, everything's going to get dirty, mudslinging left and right, and that's just the nature of the beast. But I'd love to hear a robocall about what they're going to do about the economy. I'd love to get a robocall about exactly how they're going to get out of Iraq. I'd love to get a robocall how they're going to handle immigration. I'd love to get a robocall about something that really matters. And that's the problem. I don't have a problem with robocall. I don't have a problem with the technology or the process. I have a problem with the subjects
of all these. And let's be clear who threw the first quote unquote negative ad out. Senator Obama spent millions of dollars. I think it's upward in $27 million on negative ads against John McCain, trying to link him to being McSame. Come on now, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. There's a difference between asking critical questions.
Name calling and, like, yeah.
Right, it is politics,
come
right.
On,
raising
man.
Critical questions and being a bit aggressive is different than linking someone to domestic terrorism through unfounded claims. That's very different and very dangerous.
Are you saying that Bill Ayers was not a domestic terrorist?
No,
I'm
saying the link between Barack Obama and Bill Ayers is what's untrue, not Bill Ayers' particular behavior in the 1960s, which we could question as well. But that ain't the point. The point is the relationship between him and Obama is not what the Republican Party has suggested it is.
I think what we're saying, and I definitely want to say it, is that Barack Obama is not a domestic terrorist. Can you agree with me on that one?
Barack Obama is not a domestic terrorist.
Right. Do you agree with that?
Yes or no?
Barack Obama is not a domestic terrorist.
Thank you. End of story.
Then raising those questions does nothing but instilling people to fear that he could be.
Raising the questions about judgment in relationships is not unfair.
But the other question I had, though, Sean, do you think there's any question? But one of the questions that I was curious about is, do you think that this, you know, expands the party? I mean, if this is one thing, is to sort of get people angry who are already angry at Obama, that's sort of fine. But what about the people who haven't already made up their minds? How does that help you?
I think folks need as much information as they can get in these last couple of days. For example, Sarah Palin Day is talking about what she has done and what she will do for special needs children. We've been talking about the economy. The senator is in Colorado talking about issues facing folks out there. We're talking about the issues, but we also need to talk about judgment. We need to talk about judgment, which is important, and we need to talk about how Barack Obama's tax plan, which says he's going to give 95% of Americans tax cuts when 40% of Americans don't pay taxes. We need to make sure that jives, and we're not doing that. People are not asking him, how do you plan to cut taxes to 40% of folks who don't pay them?
So speaking of judgment, Sean, and folks palling around with folks, it turns out that Sarah Palin's been palling around with personal shoppers. Gee. $150 on the wardrobe.
Transition,
Sean, Michelle. You're a sharp dresser yourself, but do you think that showed good judgment?
I think that I agree with the campaign. We don't talk about those kind of things. And there are more important things to talk about.
I agree with the campaign that we won't talk about it.
There are more important things to be talking about energy security, about where we're at in the international world, than who spent what.
Don't forget flag pins.
Nick is in New York, and he actually is, you know, in the kind of the fashion entertainment world. And he actually thinks that it's all... Go ahead, Nick.
I know, so Sean, whether you guys talk about it or not, I don't think there's a big problem with it, as long as the money came from the right place, meaning if the RNC paid for it, if John McCain paid for it, as long as taxpayers' dollars didn't pay for it. I have no problem with them dressing up Sarah Palin, coming from Alaska, not being a fashion plate, but having to have a certain look.
I lived in Alaska, and I was still fashionable. Don't even. But
I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about Sarah Palin.
But
defensive
I don't
much?
Think,
Sean,
I know, right?
Can I finish? What I'm trying to say is I don't have any problem with her spending $150,000 as long as the money came from the right place, because you have to dress your candidate up. But the fact that you guys won't even talk about it.
I ain't mad that John McCain upgraded. Here's my issue. My issue is the fact that she presents herself as this modest hockey mom, and suddenly she's rocking Dolce & Gabbana and this and that and getting her hair tossed for 4 or 5 G's. That's a very different image than what she's projecting, of modesty, of frugality, of fiscal responsibility. I'm just saying there might be some contradiction there. And then when you talk about Barack Obama being, you know, the celebrity who spends all this money on suits and stuff, the reality is they all spend a lot of money on clothes. We shouldn't single her out. But you can't say you're a party of modesty and then you just start bawling out of control like that.
One of the things that this party is doing is we're donating all of those clothes to charity. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how this is not an issue. It's not an issue when the economy needs to be addressed, and we need to be talking about Joe the Plumber, Juanita the Hairdresser, Jack
the Waiter, Plumber's relevant.
And those kind of folks.
Juanita the Hairdresser.
Sean, hold on. I got a question for you, and I've been aching to ask a Republican this question. Now, I'm not in the tank for anybody, bro. I'm in the tank for Jimmy. Check this out. Would we still be hearing about Joe the Plumber if he was black?
You would still be hearing about Joe the Plumber, no matter who he is, because Joe is the average American who's working 50 hours a week trying to put food on the table, being a single dad. Come on now. Come on.
Joe's a fraud.
Joe the Exaggerator is what he is.
No, it's right. Not Joe the Exaggerator, because Joe represents so many folks on the grind, trying to make money, trying to take care of themselves, and we need to be honest about what Barack's tax plan will do to these folks.
I need to jump in just a minute to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, and Sean Connor in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Yo, I'm sorry, Sean.
Sean is a fly dresser, too, I have to say.
I don't doubt it. Yeah, and I've been known to rock a pair of, a couple $100 Jordans, man, but dag, $150,000, man.
That's a whole lot of Jordans, man.
That's a lot of Jordans, B. And I guess the whole problem with that is you say it's not relevant, but it's like, you try to prop up like you're a soccer mom, and the soccer moms don't be rocking Prada, yo. Seriously.
Only in Westchester.
No.
In Westchester.
I know soccer moms, trust
Wait
me.
Wait a minute, how do you know?
The soccer moms I know don't rock Prada, thank you.
Okay. I'm in Scottsdale.
Or maybe they ship it to my fiscal restraint
and
responsibility.
It's really interesting. Did anybody see yesterday that the First Lady of California, Maria Shriver, came out and said this is not an issue, and she definitely is not in the tank for Senator McCain and Governor Palin. It's a non-issue. This needs to be taken off the table so we can talk about the economy.
So we can talk about robocalls.
So we can talk about Joe the Plumber.
We need to talk about the World Series, too, though.
Oh, yeah. The Phillies are in the series. Against all conventional wisdom, they got in the series and they made it to the big dance. But, Nick, do you think they're going to go the distance?
Look, this is personal for me because I'm a Met fan, one. And my brother-in-law has a store in Philly and sells these ugly T-shirts with the Met logo with the Phillies name over it. And so he's not invited for Thanksgiving.
That's harsh.
I'm going to go get one. Give me two of them.
So all I got to say is that, the Phillies are not my team of choice. I'm not, I don't have a nickel in the dime about the American League anyway. And, Tampa Bay has a great story. They also have a lot of great young African-American players in a sport that they're seeing less and less great athletes go to play baseball. So I'm happy about that. I love Ryan Howard. I love Jimmy Rollins. But the Phillies can take a short walk off a short appear.
Dr. Hill.
Mark Lamont Hill here got to step in and fix. First of all, Mets fans are the worst people on the planet when it comes to sports.
That hurts me, because
this is what it is.
The
Yankees are like Beyonce, and the Mets are like Solange, right? So y'all have this little inferiority complex going on.
Didn't he just take it right there? I'm just saying, because
we've been beating the Mets consistently for the last few years, and Mets fans always have an excuse for why we're not better than them. The Phillies are the losingest team in the history of professional sports. We have the longest, deepest tradition of suffering. So y'all should have some hope for us. We're in a city where there's violence, where there's people getting hurt every day. There's been no violence. The city is galvanized, and we're excited.
Bro,
and we're about to
Brooklyn.
Win our first championship in 25 years. Why don't y'all jump on board and just not hate this one time, Mets fans, please?
Mark, I live in Brooklyn, so we got everything.
Come on, Solange.
Yeah,
where's
Sean?
Sean,
where are you on this?
Let me tell you where I'm at on this. It's really clear. I am from Oakland, California. I am Oakland A's all the way, so whatever.
They still play baseball?
Y'all still got a baseball team?
I always got to say this. I have one of my best friends in the entire world, lives in Philly. He's in law school, and so I kind of have a feel for that. And then I got good friends who live in New York, and I was just there, so I kind of understand. So my question is, why we got to put the World Series on hold to see Barack talk?
You know something, Sean?
I was with you almost up there to the last minute, brother. That's why you can't trust these Republicans, man.
But did you check how Mark now made it like a social responsibility to root for the Phillies? First it was just like a sports thing, and we were just doing our thing, and now it's like we have to be for the people we have to go right. with. Exactly. Really, I don't even know how to respond to that.
If you love children, the homeless, and kittens, you got to support the Phillies.
I know, Jimmy, Jimmy's kind of in charge of social irresponsibility, so maybe you could help us balance the scales here. I don't know.
Here we go. Yo, I mean.
Y'all ain't got no support in Cleveland, though, man.
Oh, hey, now. We got the Browns and we got the Indians, which is a lot like not
LeBron.
Having any
You got LeBron.
Cleveland.
That's all you need.
But you're right. But we got LeBron. That's really all we need. You know, but I mean, I think
y'all better take
some
pictures
of
me.
Ain't
gonna be
there long. You know what? You might be right. You know, because I think that Jay-Z's trying to get him signed to the Nets after his contract's up.
Sean, could you just, for the people who don't know, could you just explain what you meant by that? By what we had to wait to hear Barack talk? Could you just explain what you meant?
Just to circle back around, what is it? If we get to the seventh game, the night Senator Obama has brought up all this airtime to chat with the American people, they're going to postpone the beginning of the game by, 15 minutes or so?
I'm sorry. Didn't he say bought airtime? I think that's called hating.
That's what it's called.
Right.
He bought the airtime.
I mean, the problem
there's $150,000 y'all could have put in that kitty,
exactly.
I think.
Hold
for
on. The problem is,
y'all should have taken Sarah's
Manolo
fund.
If we want to talk about Pennsylvania and use it as a type, he needs to try to close the deal, which he didn't do in Pennsylvania. So this is an attempt to try to close the deal. I don't know if it'll work. Don't think it will work, but, you know, he can spend the money he wants the way he wants to, considering he didn't take public financing and did not commit to, keep his promise to the American people to do so. So let's talk about that if we want to talk about where all this money is coming from and the fact that, you know, there's a tons of it unaccounted for and we got people like made up folks giving him money.
Okay, fellas. All right. Well, before we wrap up, before we wrap up, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't pour out a little liquor for the Yuma Tornado. The disco godfather, Dolemite himself, died this week.
Right.
That's true.
Here in Akron, Ohio. So, I just got to throw deuces to my dude. And wherever you at, man, I'm sure you the baddest mofo there. Holla. Michelle, back to you.
We'll translate that on the on our website. We'll put a translation of with an
right.
asterisk exactly what you just said. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV1 Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Nick Charles is the managing editor of Essence.com. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Dr. Mark Lamont Hill is an assistant professor of urban education and American studies at Temple University. He joined us from Philadelphia. And Sean Connor is the outreach press secretary for the Republican National Committee. He was kind enough to join us from his office in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you all so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Glad we could do it.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.